started preaching more about the Word than they did the Word. I want to know what God has to say. If it hurts my feelings, it hurts my feelings. If it doesn't hurt my feelings, it doesn't hurt my feelings. But the reason I use an overhead projector, it has nothing to do with being modernistic, nothing to do with being flashy. I want you to see it. And I want you to make up your own mind what it says. Of course, you're going to do that anyway. Now, I'm going to talk about something this morning that's very prevalent today. And when you hear it, you may not like this. But if you don't like it, then I'm going to ask you this question. Do you not like it because it hurts your feelings? Do you not like it because... Well, why do you not like it? I'm going to ask you to ask yourself that question. If you don't like what I'm showing you, and what these words say, then I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, well, why don't I like them? Is it God's fault? Is it His fault? Or is it my fault? John 8, 33, 37, and 47. We live in a society where there is so much superficial belief that isn't genuine, that it's unbelievable. We have people on television now, preachers, that are saying, all right, everybody now, pray after me. They say, Lord, I'm a sinner. The people say, Lord, I'm a sinner. They say now, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, forgive me a sinner and make me right with you. Lord, forgive me a sinner and make me right with you. Lord, help me turn my life over to you. Lord, help me turn my life over to you. And they tell them just what to say, and they say it. Then after, they say, praise God, you've claimed the promises and you're saved. We have a lot of superficial people who believe that all you've got to do is to believe on Christ and you're saved. That's true if you understand what it means to believe on Christ. In John 8:30, it says, as He, Jesus Christ, spake these words, many believed on Him. Now, there are some people who would take that and say, right there they were saved. And if you tried to argue with them, they'd tell you you were ungodly, you didn't know what you were talking about. And that's really what most preachers today give people the impression. Just believe what Jesus said, and you're saved. He goes on in verse 31, John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, which believed on Him. So here we have Jews which have believed on Him. And most people look at that and say, well, those Jews were saved. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus continues. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And I know some preachers, and to be perfectly honest, years ago when I was a young preacher, I did the same. I said, that's not talking about salvation. I said, that's talking about discipleship. Now, it's taught that way by many. And some of you here may believe it that way. Well, all I can do is show you the truth. You're going to have to make up your own mind. But after God called me to preach and led me back to the seminary in Little Rock, I started looking at the original words that God wrote this in and what they said. That word indeed is aletheis, and it means true. He said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you stay in my word, then are ye, speaking to those Jews which had believed, my true disciples. Now, when you take aletheis and put it with its contrasting opposite, it's true and false. What it said is, I'm going to show you the difference between false disciples and true disciples. And if you're a false disciple, you're not saved. If you're a true disciple, you are. It's that plain and that simple. Indeed is aletheis. The God-breathed word is aletheis. It means true disciples. And ye shall know the truth. It doesn't say that if you're a true believer, you could know the truth, you might know the truth, you might suspect it. It says, ye shall know. It does not leave any other avenue except this. If you are a true disciple, and you remember who he was speaking to, these Jews that the Bible says believed on him. He said, if you're a true disciple, you're going to know the truth, period, no exceptions. And the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say the truth might make you free, could make you free. It doesn't put any stipulations. He said, if you're a true disciple, if you really belong to me, he said, you're going to know the truth. You shall know it. He said, you will come to know it. And the truth shall make you free. Doesn't say it might. It will make you free. Do you believe you can lose your salvation? Then you're not a true believer. The reason you're not a true believer is because you're still in bondage in your sins. You're not free. I am. When Jesus died at Calvary, all my sins were future. Jesus didn't take some of my sins in his body. He took all of them. Jesus died for what I am, by birth and by nature, a rotten, corrupt, ungodly sinner. And when I came to Christ, he cleansed all my sins, past, present, and future. That does not mean I can live above sin. There is still a monster in my flesh. But in my soul, God has saved it, cleansed it, purged it, cleansed it, and he lives there. And I'm set free from the condemnation of God. There is nothing I can ever do to put myself back under it. I'm a true disciple. I'm not a phony. I want you to notice what these Jews were really like. It says he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and many people say, well, they were saved right there. And they just didn't become disciples. Uh-uh. You can't have anything except a true disciple or a false disciple, and false disciples are phony. They are not of God. How do I know that? They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? What does Scripture just say? It says, and ye shall know the truth. They didn't know the truth. They didn't understand what he was saying about. And the truth shall make you free. They had no comprehension of what he was talking about. It was as foreign to them as night from day. They weren't saved. You say, well, now, I don't know about that. Well, I do. Let's take a look at this same bunch in verse 37. He just got through saying to them, we be Abraham's seed. In verse 37, he answers it. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They weren't saved. Because they couldn't continue in their word, because the word never was received by them. They never did receive Christ. They never did trust Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? The devils believe that and tremble. You believe he died on the cross for your sins? The devils believe that and they're lost. You've got to put your trust in Jesus before Jesus will save you. And when you put your trust in Jesus, you receive the new birth from above. And when all your hope is in Jesus and nothing else, nothing you've ever done or ever could do, then you finally come to realize that you're set free by the blood of Christ and by his life and not by your own efforts. And you understand because you continued in the Word. I tell you, if you're saved, you're going to continue in the Word. Now, you may have erratic periods, and you may have your ups and downs, but there's always going to be that living Word inside you, and you're going to have a continual battle going on in your flesh, and if there isn't one, you don't know Christ. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye, plural, Emmaus, the same group he's talking about in verse 31, where it says, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, they did not hear God's word. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. Then he tells them why. Because ye are not of God. So just because you've got a bunch of people on television running down to a front in an audience, and some ungodly man standing up there claiming to be from God, gets him to repeat the sinner's prayer, and then tells him they're all saved. That doesn't mean they're all saved. It means nothing. And what they continue in is the ungodly heresy that man stood up there and taught them and continues to teach them, and they never knew God. Luke 8, 18. In Luke 8, 18, these words are written. Jesus speaking to the first New Testament church and to whoever would hear. If what I've said so far offends you, why does it offend you? Because it bothers your preconceived ideas? Or because you're horrified that it might be the truth? Luke 8, 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath what? Whosoever hath heard. Whosoever hath heard. Take heed therefore how you hear. The subject is what you hear. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, hath what? Hath heard. These people up here in verse 31, they never heard. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my true disciples, my disciples indeed. They couldn't hear. They had not heard. I'm going to receive a reward from the Lord in heaven. Why? Because I did hear. Because Christ does live in me. And because every act that I have ever performed in my life that was right, Jesus did. And every act that I have ever performed that was wrong, I did. I take responsibility for my actions. But I also acknowledge that there has never been one righteous thing done in my life, one good thing ever performed by this man standing here, that it was not Christ inside living in him who performed it. Everything that I've ever done that was right, the Spirit of Christ did. Everything that I've ever done that was wrong, I did. I have heard. I am continuing in his word. I am a true disciple. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Some people hear, some people don't. The question is, which one are you? And why are you what you are today? Whose fault is it that you don't hear? Is it yours or God's? Is it because this is irritating to you, or because you won't receive what God said? And whosoever hath not what? Hath not heard, that's the subject. Hath not heard. These people up here, they heard his word, but they really didn't hear it. Take heed therefore how you hear. They thought they heard it, but they had not heard it. People that hear the word continue in the word, and to them shall be given more and more ability to understand more and more of it. But to those who have not heard, whosoever hath not heard, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Right now across this land, in many buildings like this, there are people meeting together trying to worship God. They're trying to worship God in the flesh. They either believe that they receive their salvation by works, or that they maintain their salvation by works. Either one, and sometimes both. They seem to have a form of righteousness. These Jews did too. They went to synagogue all the time. They offered tithes and mints, and they were men who wore long flowing robes and who used their prosperity and their wealth to tell people that God had blessed them, and this is why they had all this. And they were righteous. And because they were righteous, God blessed them. Today, that's what most of the American public believes. And these freaks on television are telling them all these blessings they're receiving are from God. And if they just do what they do and send in their money and serve God with their money, then God will bless them and God will give them all these wonderful things. It's phony. It's just as phony as these Jews. They weren't his true disciples. Jesus said they weren't. They weren't believers. It was superficial. And I'll tell you what's going to be taken away from them. All the things that they seem to have received from God, they're going to leave right here on this earth. What they seem to have, because of supposedly being followers of God, will all be left behind. They never have heard God. Whosoever hath not heard, I have heard God. I have been born from above, and my reward is in heaven, not here. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Do you think that these fellows on television that have these double breasts, the only reason I wear this is because my wife makes it, and this is not an expensive suit, folks. You think those fellows on television with all that money are godly because God blesses them with all that stuff? Do you really think that? Then compare them with the Apostle Paul. He was beaten many times with 39 stripes. He was forlorn, he was persecuted, he was stoned supposedly to death outside Lystra, thrown in prison over and over again, a life of terrifying torment from the time he surrendered to preach for Jesus, terrifying life. Finally had his head chopped off in a Roman dungeon. Just look how God blessed him. These fellows on television that tell you that the blessings of God are assured when you send in their money and tell you that God is blessing them with all that stuff because they're living for God are ungodly hypocrites and liars. And don't say at the great white throne of judgment when you stand there lost that you weren't warned, because that's exactly what they are. They're phonies, they're hypocrites, they're liars, and they're thieves. You say, well, that's pretty bold. Aren't you afraid of the judgment of God? Yes, I am. And because I'm afraid of the judgment of God, I don't dare fail to tell you the truth about them. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. True disciples. These are the ones who God gave a good heart. Several times in the Bible, the scripture makes it very clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. It makes it clear, for they have all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unrighteous. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. When you come into this world, you are totally ungodly, absolutely spiritually separated from God. You and I and every other human born except Jesus Christ, made of a woman, was born with an ungodly nature that doesn't love anything but its own best welfare, and we are totally spiritually separated from God. God has to give us a good heart. God has to make it good ground. And He can't do it if you won't take the Word and continue in it. It's not continuing in the Word that makes you a child of God. But if you are a child of God, you will continue in it. And if you are not a child of God, you will not. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit and hundredfold. That's Luke 8:8-11. Now, let's take a look at what it says next. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What are we talking about? Whether or not you understand the Word of God, people who bear fruit are children of God. People who do not bear fruit are not children of God. It is not the fruit producing that makes you a child of God. As a child of God, you produce the fruit because that is what a child of God does. It is not bearing the fruit that justifies you. But if you're a child of God, you bear it. And it is evident and it can be seen. And there is no such thing as a man who makes a profession of faith and then never performs any righteous act. The thief on the cross hung there dying, and yet he trusted Jesus, and he rebuked the other thief. So don't tell me he never did anything righteous. He did. And he bore fruit of his profession of faith. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? He had just given them the parable of the sower. His disciples were true believers. They had followed him for about 3.5 years, or at least at this time more than a year, and he had taught them many things. They were genuine. They weren't like these Jews that had a superficial belief. They continued in his word. They were right there with him. They were true disciples. They listened to what he had to say. They didn't break away. They stayed there, and they stayed with him. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? I want you to notice what he said. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I bow before God and I stand before man and I warn you by the authority of the living God, and I warn you directly, and I'm talking to every one of you and to myself. You cannot understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God unless you have received the seed and it has come to life in you and it has produced something in you, because it is the life of the seed in you that gives the evidence of your salvation. And I warn you, you cannot understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God unless the Spirit of Christ indwells you. And if all this is Greek to you, there's a very good reason. You've never been born again. But to others in parables. These were true disciples. They were a lay face. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. John 8:31. But to others, these are like the Jews that believed. It was superficial. But to others in parables, in earthly teachings, that seeing they might not see. They thought they knew what he was talking about, but they really didn't understand. Why? They didn't continue in his word. They never had really heard it. And hearing, they might not understand. Those Jews that made this false profession of faith, they heard the words he spake. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Well, what did he say in verse 30? As he spake these words, many believed on him. Those Jews heard that word. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my true disciples. But they didn't continue. Why? They really didn't understand what he was talking about. Now the parable is this. So he begins to define what the parable is. He says, now the teaching that I have given that no one understands, seemingly, the seed is the word of God. Then he goes through four different reactions. You may not like what I say and you may not agree with it, but if you want to wait until the judgment seat of Christ to find out whether I was right, go ahead. But that on the good ground are they. And others fell on good ground. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare 100-fold. There wasn't good ground there when the seed hit it. God had to make it good ground. They are the true believers, the true disciples, and they do produce fruit. And they are they which in an honest and good heart. You've been taught many times that those other three, some of them were saved. There's no way that's possible. You say, well, my preacher taught me this, and he taught me this, and I believe it. You believe what a man said, but you better believe what the Word of God says. Not a one of those other people had an honest and good heart. Go back and look at those first three types. Not a one of them had an honest and good heart. Where do you get an honest and good heart? From God. Where else can you get it? Nowhere else. There is nowhere under heaven that any man was ever born with a good heart except Jesus Christ, born of a woman. Where did they get this good heart, honest and good heart? They had to get it from God. The others never got an honest and good heart from God because they never really heard it. They seemed to have heard it. And for a while they continued and then fell away. They never heard it. They never actually took it in. Otherwise, it would have produced fruit. But I bow before God and I stand before you this morning and I testify that the only one that brought forth fruit was the fourth individual, and the only reason he did is because that seed burst forth into the new birth and was genuine, having heard the word. They get an honest and good heart from God. The other three did not. They did not, having heard the word. How do I know they had an honest and good heart? Having heard the word, keep it. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my true disciples. That's the only one that continued in his word. Now, I know you've heard this preached differently before. And I know it's hard to break tradition. But I ask you to look at that again. That was the only one that produced fruit. That was the only one that kept the word. That means to retain it. They catechoed it. And that was the only one that brought forth fruit because they were the only ones that endured. It is not the endurance that saves you. It is not the fruit that saves you. But if you are saved, if you are born again, you will produce God's fruit, period. If you are not born again, you will not produce God's fruit, period. A good tree can only bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree can only bring forth corrupt fruit. They cannot be vice versa. And the only reason I produce good fruit is because of the Spirit of Christ that indwells me. God gave me a new heart. God gave me a new spirit. God gave me a new birth. All things are become new. I'm standing up here preaching and teaching and have pastored this church for 20 years, not because I was born a good and honest person. I was born just like you, ungodly and without Christ and without hope in the world. 50 years ago, Christ came to indwell me. I heard the word, and fruit is being produced in me, not by my power, but by the power of Christ that indwells me, and I am enduring. Patience is hypomena because of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are a lot of people running around out there that everybody classifies as saved, and they don't know Jesus. They don't even suspect true salvation and how it's given and what it means. I can't do anything but tell you the truth. That's all I'm capable of doing in preaching. And if I tell you that, I can only hope that you receive it. Now, when God saved you, when God gave you that honest and good heart, God gave it to you because that's the only way you can produce fruit. You cannot produce fruit unless you've been born with the power of God. Now, when God lit your candle, when God's Spirit came to dwell in you in the person of Christ, God lit your candle. That's the honest and good heart. So that the whole world could see Him operating in you. God doesn't want to see your operation. God wants to see His Spirit operating in you. And your role in all this is to either let Him shine out of you or to sit down and try to put out the light that He put in you. You can't put it out. And God means for that light to produce. And it's up to you how much light comes out of you. I guarantee you the light of the world is in you. Now God lit that candle for a purpose. As He, Jesus, spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on Him, which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my true disciples. Okay? Take a look at this. God gave you a new heart. God gave you a new light. No man, Jesus Christ, when He, Jesus Christ, hath lighted a candle, God lit your candle. God lit your light. God's Son came to dwell in you. And He doesn't intend for it to do what you see in this verse. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it on under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick. God's Son came to indwell you so that light could come out of you, that they which enter in may see the light. God doesn't want a superficial type of outward veneer like these scribes and Pharisees had that didn't continue in the Word. God wants what comes out of you to be represented. He doesn't want you to put on something in the flesh that isn't real to appear to be a disciple of Christ, but the devil just transformed into an angel of light. And how much more of his ministers of righteousness? You see a light, but it's superficial and it's cheap and it doesn't come from within. That they which enter in may see the light. Your fruit, produced by the honest and good heart that God gave you by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Your works are the works of Christ, the light of God, the light of the world, coming out of you and being manifested in the form of good works. God saved you to perform those good works. And if you've understood what I've said this morning, I hope that right now in your heart, you're thanking God that you've understood what I've shown you. And I hope that in your heart you're rejoicing before the Lord that you understand this. Because there's a world of people out there that don't have any idea what that means. And this morning, if I've gone through this, this has been so mysterious and strange to you, and you have automatically rejected it because this is strange teaching. I hope you'll very carefully consider what you've seen on this screen. Check out what I've said against the rest of the Scriptures. You'll discover that the new birth is something that God gives by grace through faith, and without it you're helplessly, hopelessly lost. For nothing is secret. You're going to discover true believers and false believers. On the outward, these Jews way back there in the beginning in John 8:31, they looked like they were believers, but they didn't continue in His Word because they weren't true disciples. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to come out. You're going to find out who was born again and who wasn't. I hope this morning you know whether you're born again or not. I hope you know whether your righteousness is an outward superficial thing or whether it's because Jesus has saved you from what you are, a miserable, rotten sinner. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. The light of God shining out of people reveals who the false disciples are and who the true ones are. The ones who teach the truths of God, the ones who stand and proclaim the Word of God, the ones who tell you that prosperity is not necessarily a sign of righteousness, the ones who stand and prove to you what the Bible has to say are men of God. And it's made manifest. You can see it. It'll come abroad. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I guarantee you, it's going to come into the view of all men. So So I'll simply close with this last word. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath what? Hath heard. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath heard, to him shall be given. Given what? The ability to understand more. The ability to grow in grace. You can't grow in grace unless you've received the grace of salvation. And the grace of salvation of God is in Christ Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, or close to it, one lone, single, solitary man, the only righteous man who ever lived, born of a woman, suffered and bled and died at Calvary. That was the only man who was ever born of a woman that had a good heart and an honest heart. That was the only man who ever lived, born of a woman, who never once sinned in his whole life. He was the only man who ever lived who could offer a sacrifice acceptable to God. He was the only man whose blood would ever justify us all. That man did what no man has ever done before. He lived a perfect life before his Father, proved in every way that he was equal to God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You were born with a wicked and deceitful heart, just like myself. I came to Christ as a helpless, hopeless, lost sinner. I had no hope, no way of justifying myself before God. I trusted Jesus 50 years ago. He's the only righteous thing about me. He's the only good thing. He gave me his heart. He sealed my soul and he lives within me. I've been born again. I can understand God's word. I have spiritual enlightenment that came from God. I can take no credit whatsoever for anything I have ever understood that is spiritual, because I was born of the Spirit and was incapable of understanding the word until I received the Spirit. This morning, if you've never put your trust in what Jesus did, I simply want to use the last three words to close. He said, "It is finished." He hung there dying, wounded, bleeding. He said, "It is finished." He did everything that was necessary to save every human being from every sin they ever committed. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the only one who can take that sin guilt and that burden. He said, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." He's the only one that can give you life, his life. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus. I can't save you. The church can't save you. And most importantly, you have to realize that you can't save yourself. But in these next few silent moments, I'm going to ask you to go to Jesus Christ. Go to him as what you are, a helpless sinner, and ask him to save you from what you are, in your way, in your time, in these next few moments. I hope you'll ask Christ to save you. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us from what we are, for receiving the sacrifice of your Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing it, for performing what it was impossible for us to do, so that you might justify us before your Father and be our constant intercessor always before him. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if someone even now has gone in prayer to your Son seeking salvation, that your word, which is so clear, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," that word will strike into their hearts and they'll realize they've done what you ask and that you've received because they've trusted in your Son to save them and have called on his name. Help them now to believe that what you say is true by coming forward and acknowledging that this morning I've trusted Jesus. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.